What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's see who'll win this battle of strategy. Riggins. He's going to go all the way. Unless Blackwood can catch him, and he can't. What a tremendous play. But the key to this play was motion.
Live from Uptown Alley in Manassas, Virginia. Grant Nanny here on 106.7 The Fan. No GP. He's down for the count with the flu. Toby Altizer sitting in for us. We got plenty more to come on this radio program. Knock off work early. Come out and see us and hang with your pals. We'll be here all show long. Thrilled to jump to the hotline now with our guy Kirk Morrison, Sirius XM NFL Radio. You can hear Kirk every Tuesday as he co-hosts the Sirius XM Blitz with Bruce Murray from 12 to 3 Eastern on Channel 88 and the Sirius XM app. Kirk, good afternoon, man. Thanks for the time.
Oh, man, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. All right, let's go in chronological order here. We'll get to Washington. We got plenty to talk about with that game. But let's start Houston and Kansas City. I don't know how Kansas City has done it all season long. I know how they're going to do it in the postseason with Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce turned up to 11. But here they are once again. They seem inevitable. Is there a way Houston wins this football game?
Yeah, I think there's always a way, and the way is that Houston getting off to a quick, fast, hot start in the game. And what I'm saying, getting a couple turnovers early on, scoring on their first couple of possessions, that will get them going, and it kind of puts some doubt in the minds of the Kansas City Chiefs. Regardless of what they've done prior, there's always that moment of doubt in a football game, and they have to create doubt. That's what Houston has to do, create doubt throughout the game, and still don't make it close in the fourth quarter, because if this game is close in the fourth quarter, you feel like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they will find a way to get things done and probably get past this little round and get to the division round.
With Houston last week, I think a lot of people were thinking that the Chargers were going to get it done. They find a way to beat them. What worked for them last week that they can carry over to this week?
Yeah, see, I was a little bit different. I don't think anybody, from just tradition and just looking at the wild card round of the NFL, especially since they went to the expanded playoff with 14 teams. To me, the home teams always win. I mean, last week it was 5 of 6 home teams won that game. Obviously, you mentioned Washington, we'll talk about a little bit later, but the 5 home teams, or even the Rams who are considered the home team, they all won. So I was not surprised by that. I think you feed off the energy at home at your place. But that all changes in the division round. That's why this is one of the best rounds of all of the NFL playoffs, even better than championship weekend, because we get high-level football, and more than likely we get the division winners all going up against each other. So that's what makes this the best round of all of them, and I think that's why it's going to be a much better games this week as well.
Kirk, let's say that Kansas City wins this game against Houston. Who's a tougher matchup for them between Baltimore and Buffalo?
Both. I mean, like, let's just be real. We're talking about they're going to go up against an MVP finalist, right? With the top 2 winner in the MVP category for the NFL this year. There is no right answer to this, fellas. Like, you can try to corner somebody into it, but you're going to get Lamar Jackson or you're going to get Josh Allen. Like, that's just what it is.
Good luck. Yeah.
Good luck. 2 hungry franchises. Baltimore trying to win another Super Bowl, which they haven't done in a long time. And then obviously Buffalo, where I spent my last 2 years of my NFL career. You know how hungry, how starving they are for a Super Bowl. So it won't be an easy say, oh, who would you rather play against? Both teams are going to be fantastic. But you know, I think we keep forgetting January 20th, 2022. And everybody said, well, what's that date? That was the last time the Kansas City Chiefs lost a playoff game. And that was that Cincinnati, that AFC Championship game. That was the last time they lost a playoff game, was 2022. They've spanned almost three calendar years, and that's why I think it's just such a difficult task for the Texans.
Skipping ahead to Sunday before we get to the Commanders in a little bit, Rams and Eagles at 3 o'clock. I thought the Rams looked incredibly impressive in their win. And then the flip side, I didn't necessarily think Philly looked all that impressive against the Packers. What does Philly have to get figured out? Are they, you know, is Jalen Hurts going to be back to the guy that, you know, is winning them ball games, or is he going to be a little bit of a liability down the stretch here? What do you like in this one?
It's a week-to-week league. And what you saw last week or weeks prior, that all goes out of the window. It's all about what. How can you win the day? That's what it matters. It doesn't matter if you won by 30, if you win by one, is can you win the day? And I think Philadelphia is built that way. I think the Rams are also built that way. A lot of people talk about their matchup back in week 11 for the Rams and Eagles, and the Eagles had their day against the Rams. I think we just have a much better matchup. Now, weather could also be a factor. You know, you may have snow as well. What does that do for how this game is being played? So a lot of factors in what I think could be a really, really tight game against, like I said, two division winners. I don't think it's a situation of quarterback, can he get back? It's can you devise a game plan for one day? It's Sean McVay versus Vic Fangio. It's Kellen Moore versus Chris Shula. Man, that's the matchup I'm looking at, these coordinators and head coaches.
If you watched the NFL between 2005 and 2009, you saw Kirk Morrison, our guest from SiriusXM, tackle people more than 116 times every single year. Kirk, let's go to this Rams team most specifically. What they've had to deal with adversity-wise, I understand this is just regular sports adversity. People are dealing with real-life adversity, so that caveat obviously applies. But it's pretty unusual not to have your home game. It's unusual to kind of have to fly around. They didn't know if they're going to be able to practice when they got back in the whole nine yards. But my question is just about that defense. Was that just a Minnesota-only thing, or did they find something? And all of a sudden, that group to me looked like they were flying around, really comfortable with themselves.
No, this was the succession plan to Aaron Donald, and a tip of the cap to Les Snead, who had to put this plan together. After the Super Bowl, remember for the Rams, the Super Bowl 58, the Rams had to, I'm sorry, was it 56? I'm sorry. I'm so many Super Bowls.
Oh, I can't do it either, Kirk. I'm like, you know, remember the one a couple years ago?
Yeah, Super Bowl 56. So this is actually Super Bowl 59 approaching, but Super Bowl 56. After they won, Aaron Donald had to make a decision. Would he come back or would he not? And I thought that was what planted the seed for Les Snead. And all he did was, in the last 2 years, were draft defensive players to help succeed and ease the pain of Aaron Donald retiring. He's drafted Byron Young, Kobe Turner, Braden Fisk, and his first-round draft pick since 2016 is Jared Verse, who obviously made the Pro Bowl and should be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Animal.
This group has matured so well. The chemistry that they have, everything. From a first-year defensive coordinator and play caller and Chris Shula, this defense has gotten better week by week, and that's what I think the Rams are not talked about enough. They've been winning games with their defense, not necessarily their offense.
Well, I do want to talk about that offense real quick. I thought Matt Stafford looked really, really good. People that weren't, you know, counting the Rams as a legit shot.
Don't say that. You got Matthew. Don't say Matt. You're going to get in trouble. You say Matt Stafford around him, he'll give you a side eye. It's Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford, I thought, was really, really good in this one. It seems like people are maybe not giving them enough credit. I mean, this is a guy that's won a Super Bowl. Can he be a difference maker down the stretch and get them to that point? Because you look at, like you talked about, that defense is playing a lot better. They've got a solid run game. Puka Nacua didn't go crazy in this last one. Cooper Kupp didn't go crazy. But Matthew Stafford looked really, really good in this one.
Yeah, I mean, he's the most experienced quarterback in this final round, right? This final eight teams that are left. He's got the experience. He's a Super Bowl champion. And remember, the Rams really took their foot off the gas last week. They were up 27-3, so they didn't have to throw the ball deep down the field. They played a little more ball control. And so I feel like this is one of those games where everybody's saying, okay, who is it going to fall on? I just know if you give the ball to Matthew Stafford with 2 minutes to go, either down or up, he's going to make the right decisions to get you to victory. That's what it comes down to. If this is a game in which everybody's jumping in the pool, you're just trying to get the Philadelphia Eagles to the deep end and see if they can tread water a little bit. In the way that the Rams have that chemistry, he's got players he can work with. You mentioned Puka Nacua. I still think this is a monster Cooper Kupp game, as he may have a good matchup. This is going to be fun to watch. But Matthew Stafford will continue to show why he's still playing at an elite level, where you may not put him in your top five rankings of quarterbacks, but he'll show you that he's still one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
SiriusXM's Kirk Morrison with us here on G&D. Toby in for a sick Grant. All right, let's go to the Ravens and Bills. This is the game of the weekend. I know we're here in Washington, Kirk, and we're obviously got pretty a lot invested in that one, but just in terms of a pure on-paper football matchup, this game is perfect. You already mentioned the MVP finalists and kind of the stake on this thing and how just incredible it is. The weather, is it a factor? Just how do you see this game going? What's the key? What's important?
I got a question for you guys, though.
Yep.
If this game was pay-per-view, would you pay for it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No question.
Absolutely. I don't know what the number is where I'd go, that's too much, but it's more than it should be.
It's quite high.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I'm just saying, like, we have all of these great fights, right? So, you know, these monster fights that you have in Vegas and all these, you know, UFC fights. But I said if they put a pay-per-view, $34.99, for Ravens-Bills on Sunday evening, it would shatter records. I mean, I know at least clearly over 2 to 3 million people would shell out to watch what is a once-in-a-lifetime type of game. We're talking about Bills, Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I mean, this is bigger than Brady versus Manning, right? This is bigger than some of those matchups that I think we grew up watching. So it has everything to do with, we think, the legacy of these quarterbacks moving forward. Even though, hey, you may have a date with Patrick Mahomes ahead, I feel like this may be one of the biggest playoff matchups I've probably seen in my lifetime.
You talked about home field advantage being so big in the wild card round. You got Buffalo at home in this one. Is it going to be enough to swing it Buffalo's way after what happened in the regular season in this matchup?
You know, I always say playing in Buffalo my last 2 years, I don't know if it's necessarily home field advantage, because I feel like both teams are going to have to play in it. And we're talking about if it's snow, one thing. If it's cold, it's still the same weather that's in Baltimore as well. They play in frosty temperatures as well. So it's really about, can you have a solid running or rushing attack if you're the Buffalo? I mean, if you're in Baltimore while you're in Buffalo. And that's why you went out and got a Derrick Henry. That's why you went out and bring in all these offensive linemen. That's why Patrick Ricard is still the 30th time all-pro fullback, tight end, whatever you want to call them. To me, that's the big factor in this game. It's not even the home field advantage. I just think that which team is going to establish their identity. Is it the Bills? Is it the Ravens? That's what it's about.
All right, Kirk. Kirk Morrison with us here on G&D. Talk about Washington. We are here in D.C. We are underdogs, as Washington should be, quite frankly. Detroit's excellent. They're a buzzsaw. They are so, so good. Write me the script, though, for Washington going to the NFC title game. How do they beat Detroit?
Wow. Turn the ball over. And oh, I'm sorry, getting turnovers, creating turnovers. If they're able to create some turnovers and convert on third down, that's what this game's going to be about. Is Jaden Daniels being special on third down to keep the chains moving? Because that's how you're going to quiet that crowd. You talked about home field advantage. It is a factor in this game. Maybe not as much so, I think, in Buffalo. But when it comes to Detroit, that place is going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. How do you quiet that crowd? It's converting on third down. It's running the football effectively and creating a couple of turnovers, which they were able to do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's how you're going to win this football game.
Defensively, how does Washington slow down this Detroit offense? I don't feel like they're going to be able to stop them. I think they're still going to put up quite a few points, but how do they slow them down?
It's really stopping the run, that two-headed monster. Jahmyr Gibbs, also David Montgomery. We'll see what his status looks like coming back this week from injury. But if you're stopping this run, I would definitely feel like that helps out in slowing down Jared Goff and his play-action passes. They don't really throw the ball deep down the field. And if you go back and look at some of the numbers, I remember I looked at it probably three-quarters of the season, they don't get a lot of pass interference calls in terms of their wide receivers. So I think you could play some sticky man coverage, allow, you know, Bobby Wagner to kind of roam the middle a little bit, take away those underneath routes. I think you've got a shot at disrupting their game, but it really comes with taking away the perimeter runs from Jahmyr Gibbs and Jameson Williams. If you're stopping the run, man, that is going to be the key. They are predicated on what? Being physical and tough up front. If you're stopping that run and putting it on Jared Goff, you can get Jared Goff 5 interceptions, Jared Goff, or you can get 4 touchdowns, Jared Goff. Honestly, which one shows up would be probably how this defense plays against the run.
I mean, you talk about importance of stopping the run. What are you doing to stop that? Are you putting extra guys in the box and just loading it and depending on the man-to-man on the outside?
Terrifying.
Are you blitzing? Like, how are you going about trying to slow down that run game?
Yeah, this is what Dan Quinn has been coached to do, right? This is what he's been a head coach to do. His system, his scheme, getting guys up the field, penetrating, and bringing an extra safety down in the box. He's going to have to do a little bit of everything. Your corners are going to have to tackle as well, because that's what the Lions try to do to you, right? They get you out there on the edge and in the perimeter with Jahmyr Gibbs, and then they'll do that in round with Jameson Williams. Your corners are going to have their big boy pads on. They're going to have their mouthpieces in, chin straps buckled, because that's how you limit their game. They're not a big between-the-tackles team, right? When Montgomery's in, yeah, maybe. But they get a lot of stuff done where? Out there on the perimeter. So Bobby Wagner's got to be sideline to sideline. You know, Frankie Louvu, these guys, man, if they're able to handle business, trust me, I think they have a big shot of limiting the explosive play that they get in the running game on the perimeter.
Kirk, what about the noise? It's something that we haven't talked a ton about. We probably should have. That Detroit fan base is ravenous. That building is loud. Yeah. It's going to be bat bleep crazy. It's a rookie quarterback. I know he doesn't play like a rookie, but still, this is an offense that, you know, a lot of time runs tempo and communication is so key. What are the logistics trying to handle that, and will that be a challenge? Will it be a factor?
I don't even know if I should say this. And this may be blasphemy when it comes to NFL stadiums. And maybe the people of Detroit may find me and blow up my mentions on Twitter. But if you said the most raucous place to play, would you think it would be Ford Field or Death Valley Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night at night?
Yeah.
I think he's been in those environments down at LSU. He knows how stadiums can be loud and how it's – when you play in the SEC, everything is loud. So I think he's played in these big moments. He's played in these big crowds. And for me, it's his ability to take off and utilize his legs when it's not there. You're not going to be able to audible as much. It's going to be maybe 1, 2, if it's not there, take off and go. And that's what you saw, what, last game versus Tampa. When you needed the big play, it was who? Jaden Daniels. And he did it not only from the passing from the pocket, but he did it when you needed him most, when you put the ball in his hands and say, go get us a first down. That's how he's going to be able to do it in that raucous crowd, is his ability to just say, you know what, go be a playmaker, which he's been doing ever since he's been in high school.
I mean, you look at this offense, they haven't been able to run the ball, it seems like, for the second half of the year with outside of Jaden. Is that something where if they can't run the ball, they're still going to be able to get it done, or do they need that run game to get it done in this one because you want to control the ball, because you want to be able to have the ball in your hands to keep it away from Detroit?
You just want to be able to convert on third down. You want to get, if it's Austin Ekeler, getting him, you know, the ball on those check downs. That's what you're going to have to do. Brian Robinson is going to, you know, get hopefully, hey, 3 yards, 4 yards. If they're stubborn about it, so this is a big game for Cliff Kingsbury, right? And if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I've got a chip on my shoulder. I'm going against Ben Johnson on the opposite side. And everybody's talking about Ben Johnson, but if Cliff Kingsbury is able to put together a nice game plan, they'll be talking about Cliff Kingsbury after this game. So I put it more on Cliff to see how physical he wants to make this game. But if you don't stack up early on in running the football, then just how do you convert? That's what the game is about. How do you convert, stay on the field, move the chains, and try to play ball control? We always think it's about running the football, but to me, it's honestly just, you know, getting to third down and getting Jaden Daniels in 3rd and 5. I like my shot with Jaden Daniels at 3rd and 5. No one's talked. We haven't even said Zach Ertz's name. I think Ertz is going to be huge. Like, he's going to be big in this game. Can you get him the football on those third and fives, right? I mean, you got to pass interfere him. if you don't, we saw it last week versus Tampa. If they don't do that, he could be the guy that can, you know, I think can be open on those third and shorts to keep the chains moving as well.
Kirk, this is great, man. Really appreciate the time and insight, and enjoy the games this weekend, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, man, best of luck to you guys up there, man. Somebody in that region is probably going to a conference championship game, hopefully.
Yeah, think about that, man. Very, very cool. Good stuff. Appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you.
All right, no problem, guys.
There he goes, Kirk Morrison, SiriusXM. Love having him on, his insight. Toby, you're too young. You sleep. That dude was nasty. He hunted and he tackled everything. If you had the football, he was going to tackle you. He had just casually averaged 130 tackles a year for a handful of seasons. Really appreciate Kirk jumping on with us. So we were talking about this all show. This is a big one. You're aware of it. It's a divisional round playoff game with a chance to go to the conference title game for the first time since Washington beat Detroit in 1991. It was actually 92 for the 91 season. Don't mess up the crest if you make another one. Point of the dude's story is this. This is the biggest game since 800-636-1067. Beltway Blitz at 4 wants your calls now. 800-636-1067. Interesting to get some perspectives on this because people around my age in their 40s remember some of the real big games or their parades afterwards. Oh, Tobias over here is 18 years old, barely able to vote and buy nicotine. Don't remember any big games. His biggest game was like a week 7 tilt against Atlanta one time. So I want to get their perspectives on that. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Your call's next.